Yuri Yavorsky, The Art of Winning, The Startup Guide. An ear for music, a sense of rhythm, inner musicality. Such things are not naturally given to everyone. Nevertheless, a huge number of kids enter music schools every year. Their parents want them to become musicians. After that, the selection process begins. The first to drop out are those who are not patient and hard-working enough. Some skip classes, others break down and quit. The next to leave are those without musical talent, and finally, those who cannot cope with internal competition. Very few actually reach the finish line. The most talented, interested, and persevering. The same is true about business. The most challenging question for me was this: did I want to become an entrepreneur or build a career as a top manager? Ask yourself, why do you want to become an entrepreneur? What drives you? Desire to earn a lot of money or to prove something to someone? Such goals are not just false, but also extremely risky. The eagerness to earn a lot of money, preferably quickly, is more treacherous than gambling. Substituting striving for self-fulfillment with the trivial intent of becoming rich can play a low-down trick on a person. In this situation, an aspiring entrepreneur risks losing everything and, first of all, their time and confidence in their own abilities. Ideally, the money stimulus is secondary. It emerges and gains importance only after the actual results of entrepreneurship are seen. The hairstyles clients of your private salon are happy with, the scones in your family bakery for which people line up every morning, the design of an apartment that you decorated with your own hands and that you're not ashamed to show to even the most fastidious customer. It's only when the market starts to recognize you and pay you back that the money stimulus starts working and motivates you to expand your business. Profits and revenue are only a future criteria of success. As soon as you get your first results, close your first deal, complete the design of your first technological or manufacturing process, sell your first goods, you will turn that process into a continuously functioning, profitable business. Business case. In 1994, I met an entrepreneur who opened a butter packaging business. She was working at a plant producing butter in huge chunks. She overheard a sharp and unpleasant conversation between one of her superiors and a client, who was begging them to sell him just a part of a large chunk. He was ready to pay the price of the entire piece, but the manager flatly refused because the plant had no equipment to cut the big piece in two. Then the future entrepreneur called her husband, and together with the client, they cut up the huge chunk of butter, which had already been bought by the non-local client, and took their half. The next day, a butter packaging business was born in the city. At that time, this seemingly simple business, butter packaging, started developing faster than the internet. First, butter was pre-packed by hand, and then special equipment was bought. After a while, they started pre-packing butter not only for shops, restaurants, and tourist kits, but also for export. Later, I watched a number of similar businesses develop in different cities across Russia. Packaging coffee and tea, spaghetti and dumplings, sugar and pepper. Think about it. We always buy pre-packed fruit and vegetables more readily, even though they are more expensive. So why not pre-pack nuts and raisins and do it like nobody else has done so far? Entrepreneurs in Turkey, Jordan, China, and other countries make good money on packaging, and there is always a place for new brands. Business case. An English businessman offered an old coffee packaging line and a 50% share in his business to a former track and field athlete from Russia. The Englishman had been trading large batches of coffee for years, but in order to find a way into the Russian market, he needed a partner. Our protagonist accepted the offer. No need to invest any money. Nothing else required but a good name, decency, and a capacity for work. Having received the first batch of coffee from his English partner, the burgeoning entrepreneur packed it slowly and carefully, thoroughly exploring the subject. After that, he visited similar enterprises abroad and familiarized himself with the technology. After about 15 years of hard work, studying the basics of business and refinement of the manufacturing processes, this successful entrepreneur's company has become one of the biggest in Russia, with a staff of over 300 people. Unfortunately, in many cases, a startup ends in a failure. Opening a new business is an endeavor taken up by entrepreneurs already successful in other areas, as well as top managers and other people who know nothing about the basics of business. The reason is usually the same, the wish to earn money. And yet, I repeat, money is secondary. Start a business in an area that you're familiar with, so that you won't have to build up competence from scratch, but as an addition to what you already know. Remember, you should not only know a lot about what you want to do, but also be very passionate about it. You have decided to open a restaurant, but you don't know a dozen different fried egg recipes, and don't constantly effuse about it, talking to your friends. Better not even start. You should sincerely love your first restaurant, small cyber cafe, massage parlor, or bakery. Naturally, resources are an important aspect for building a business, and at times they can be the backbone of the technological process you are creating. But the crucial things to start are your willingness and your skills. Business case. Once my foreign guests and I went to a restaurant called Vitalich. I had no doubts that my international colleagues would enjoy the cuisine offered at this restaurant, quite popular in our city. But how surprised all of us were when the owner himself came out, not just to greet us, but also to give us a huge dish of aspic from the meat of a wild deer that he had hunted himself. The guests were fascinated by the pile of transparent jelly cubes. It was delicious. I vividly remember how Sergei Rubin started his business, how scrupulously he selected his future dishes, trained the cooks, created the designs, thus inspiring the restaurant culture in our city. And today, listening to him as he talks about ancient Slavic recipes or explains how a certain type of restaurant or cafe should be arranged, one can see that he did not become a restaurateur solely for the sake of money. First and foremost, it is something he loves. When, at the beginning of the 90s, I took up entrepreneurship, there was one thing I knew for sure. I did not want to be a salesman. My teenage dream was to design and create modern cars. I was fervently driven by the desire to give clients what they needed, to equip the car with a hatch, power windows, and air conditioning, to upgrade the passenger compartment with real leather of any color, and so on. And we designed tuned cars, unimaginable at the time. We experimented with various discs and tires, participated in summer and winter car and go-kart races, lost and won, searched and found new solutions for the development of the growing demand for non-standard cars. I did not merely strive to earn money. The most important thing for me was self-fulfillment, becoming the best at car tuning first in my own city and then in Russia. I'm sure that any aspiring entrepreneur must try to make their business better than everyone else's. Set the goal of looking for any internal possibilities to make their dressmakers, hairdressers, their bakery, restaurant, or printing house the best of the best. The primary capital is a concept created by theoretical economists. In reality, what is important is the subject around which the future business will be built, the knowledge, the experience, and the desire to become the best. Today, After 20 years as an entrepreneur, I can state with absolute certainty that those who started their businesses relying on competence and natural talent, and those who have kept up their reputation, are still running their business successfully. As for those who bit off fat pieces of former Soviet monopolies and enterprises, they are not running a business, but rather still trying to find out who is right and who is to blame for the loss of the Soviet Union's great potential. However, when it comes to searching for the truth, this argument has become completely useless by now, since for the Russian economy, it is nothing but history. Business case. It was the beginning of the turbulent 90s, the years following the collapse of the Soviet Union. I was on a business trip to the city of Lvov in Ukraine. I took a set of brake cylinders for Volga cars, which I had bought for 10 rubles in my native Nizhny Novgorod, where they were produced, and went to the market for the first time in my life to sell them. I felt very uncomfortable arranging the cylinders at my feet and starting to engage with customers. Fortunately, my intuition had told me to stand next to the man who was selling brake cylinders too. After a while, he asked me, "How much are your cylinders?" 80, I said. "Will you sell them to me for 60? I was overwhelmed with joy because he was offering 6 times the price of the cylinders, and yet the inner voice of a burgeoning entrepreneur started resisting, and I suggested agreeing on 70 rubles. He accepted, took out the money, and started counting. 71, 72, 73, 6 times 70. In the end, I sold my brake cylinders for 420 rubles, 42 times their price. Sometimes your first success is the result of good fortune. I still have some marketing research charts from the early 90s. One of the tables encompasses 170 enterprises that were rivals of mine at the time in the same city. The competition was ferocious. No chambers of commerce and industry, no commercial or mediation tribunals, no competition regulators. Banks were providing loans at an interest rate of 400% a year, and cash was carried around in plastic bags. There were no ATMs, no internet, no mobile services, and the only thing that kept me going was the love for what I was doing. Negotiating terms with the client, convincing them that for a decent price you can produce better products, thoroughly checking the quality of all your employees, scrupulously following your promises. Because of all that, I managed to make my first repair shops and workshops more well known than my numerous competitors' similar enterprises. The results cannot be reached unless there is a goal to reach it. One cannot become an entrepreneur unless he or she sets the goal of becoming one. Being the best is the primary task, not always accomplishable, but it is something to which anyone who wants to become an entrepreneur should aspire. I would like to talk separately about managers and top managers. It is quite common for former managers who have studied the subject while working for their employer to try and open their own business. Very often, they simply start copying what they have been doing up to that point. Can this be called entrepreneurship? As far as I am concerned, it is nothing but stealing. It is impossible to build a similar business of your own relying on stolen intellectual property. Thou shalt not steal, so do not steal. Instead, start your own business. The idea might be similar, but it should be your own. Try to create, not to copy. By the way, you will come across people who will try to steal your ideas, copy your designs, or the recipes of your popular dishes, your engineering solutions, or your technological process created by years of burning midnight oil and depriving yourself of rest. Do not waste much time on dealing with these vultures. Patents, lawyers, and discretion. That is all good and useful, but the most important thing is to keep moving, developing, so that your competitors will not be able to keep up and copy even the existing things, and you will always be one step ahead. It is quite possible that someone who steals your idea will not know how to make use of it, how to develop it, and it will bring them neither luck nor profit. If you thought of an idea that has been stolen from you, you will think of another one. The true happiness of an entrepreneur lies in the work process itself, not just the result.